The way I like to say is allowing light to flow through you, realizing that you are not the source of light, but you can become a conduit for light, and you can be an imperfect conduit. You don't need to reach a certain level of perfection to invite light to flow through you. In your current state, you can simply just ask, look, listen, and be willing to take action to allow light to flow through you.
Nonprofits, foundations, groups trying to do good like this, who are trying to become sustainable, what's a tip that you would give them? Because you tried a bunch of things that didn't work. And there's many others that would like to get into a self-sustaining model. What's a mental tool that they should use? What's a question they should ask themselves?
Self-sustaining model to me is the key to any long-term charity, right? Because if they're so, charities are like businesses, but the clients are donors instead of the actual recipient.
Welcome to Innovation and Leadership. I'm Jess Larson. On this episode, I'm excited to have repeat guest Lloyd Roberts, co-founder of Loan Pro, author of G Cubed, founding member of a charity, Become More, we're going to be talking about today. Lloyd, I don't know if you realize, but I looked it up. It was almost exactly 1 year ago that you were on the show.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yes.
Yay. Well, it's an honor to be on with you again, Jess.
We're going to make this like an annual tradition or something.
That sounds fun to me.
So for people who didn't catch the episode last year, why don't you start with, give us a quick overview of bootstrapping an incredible company with your brothers, what Loan Pro is, and let's start there.
Cool. Well, I'll keep it brief, but me and my two brothers, Rhett and Ben, we have been doing business together for many, many years. Just shy of 20 years, actually. We tried all kinds of things. Cattle ranch, fix and flip, real estate, auto dealerships. We ended up starting lending companies for the auto space, and that started working quite well. So we popped up more dealerships and started financing even more of the cars that we sold. And then we started financing cars for other local dealers. And then we had the desire to really grow an auto lending company and make it quite large because it was going well. But there wasn't any good technology out there, like just some very basic things, like the typical contracts, they were using simple interest rate and APR interchangeably. Well, that's a real concern if you know anything about in the finance space. And so we decided to build our own technology so that we could scale our own in-house lending company. And it became a bigger challenge than originally anticipated. And after we'd spent a couple million dollars on it, we had some other local lenders say, hey, looks like you guys are doing pretty good. Can we do that too? And we said, well, yeah, you can, but you're going to have to build your own software. And they didn't want to build their own software. So they asked if they could use ours. At first, the answer was no. But then after a while, we're like, well, why don't we tweak the software some and make it available to other lenders throughout the U.S. and eventually now Canada. And so we did that. And at first, it wasn't going terrific. But frankly, we added a zero to the price and it started selling. It started selling pretty nicely. And frankly, the software wasn't that great back then. Today, the software is really quite an excellent piece of software out there. We have over 1,000 lenders throughout the U.S. and Canada, some big names that you would recognize that are leaning heavily into our newest platform called Loan Pro. And here we just became one of the newer unicorns out of Utah, even in today's a little bit more distressed environment. We've always been a bootstrap business. About 2 years ago, we raised $100 million that we took off the table for me and my two partners and business partners and brothers. And that way we can lean all of the profits right back into additional growth. So that's been a bumpy but fun process these last 2 years, but we're really excited about the additional growth. My journey was I oversaw revenue at all of the entities that we did together for many, many years until about 7 months ago. And then I stepped down as the CRO of Loan Pro. Sure, I'm still on the board and I'm still an advisor for Loan Pro, but I'm no longer over the revenue team. So we got a new chief revenue officer that's much better than I ever was and can take us from that $1 billion mark to hopefully add another zero here in the next couple of years. And I can go on to some other things that I'm quite passionate about. Sure, love Loan Pro. It's an awesome business. So grateful for all it's done for us and our family and all that it's doing to change how finance is done in the world. But there's some other exciting things I want to be a part of. Highlighted a year ago with you, Jess, that I wrote a book called G-Cubed. It's all about achieving personal fulfillment in this life and a formula that anyone can use to be able to achieve that fulfillment, regardless of your age, race, gender, you know, whatever the things might be that divide us in this world. It's intended to unite us in a way that is both fulfilling in the short term and in the long term. So I've leaned into that over this last year plus. And then also me and my two co-founders of LoanPro, Rhett and Ben, as well as we've asked a fourth brother, Wade, to join us in forming and founding a 501c3 called Become More. So we did that about a year and a half ago, officially got our 501c3 last December, so just shy of a year ago. And it's been off to the races. We seeded it with seven digits, and we're super excited about some of the things that we're doing there. So really, the essence of Become More is, how can we increase fulfillment for ours, for us Americans, right? And at the same time, how can we decrease poverty for those in some of the most poor countries in the world? We selected Cambodia. My brother Wade speaks fluent Khmer, the Cambodian language, and is very familiar with the people and has been over there dozens of times. So we asked him if he would stop being a professor at the U of U in Westminster and become the president of this new entity, Become More, which he graciously accepted.
Well, it's been fun to watch the YouTube channel for Become More. And, you know, people who listen to the show know that I'm a total book junkie. And so it was nice of you to give me a copy of GQ'd, but I don't read paper books. So I went and bought my own copy on Audible. And it was awesome. And so then I got my kids to read it. And so it was, and like, you know, gratitude and giving and these things, like, I feel like you teach timeless principles we know anyways, but you make it so interesting that I'm like, I do need to do more of that. I'm going to do that. But it's fun to see in the YouTube videos, some of those kids in Cambodia with copies of the book over there that, you know, was meaningful to me. That was fun to see.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been really fun. We wanted to approach this in a similar way that we approach business. How can we learn from iteration, right? We didn't get business right the first round. Some people are lucky enough to do so, and we surely were not those people. We won through iteration and learning what worked, what didn't work, and then figuring out those things that worked and lean into those, and those things that didn't work, lean away from those things, right? And then in the personal fulfillment category, that's what G-Cubed is. It's a personal fulfillment formula that anyone can use to become fulfilled in this life. And as Jess, as you mentioned, it's increasing your level of gratitude, your level of growth, and your level of giving. And then it's putting it in a formula, a mathematical formula that you can easily quantify. What is your fulfillment level now? And then let's say in a week or a month from now, you can look back. It's hard to know. Hey, am I more fulfilled right now than I was a week ago or a month ago? And if you're like me, it's like, oh, heck, I don't remember what I had for lunch 4 days ago, let alone how fulfilled I was a week ago, right? And so this actually allows you to tie a score to what your overall fulfillment is. In addition, it gives you a way to be able to know how to level up. When what category do you need to step up your game or adjust your standard or make some kind of a tweak to your mental coding so that your overall fulfillment level can increase? So on the fulfillment side, that's some super exciting stuff that I'm happy to lean into. And then my brothers, Ben and Rhett, primarily, they're leaning into some other exciting things. And that is more of a formula for reducing poverty or increasing prosperity in the most rural areas in this world. And so right now, my brother, Rhett, is out there with a group of people. He's taking a VIP group out there. Next week, they're joining him. There's some big hitters here from Utah, including the president of the University of Utah and some other really influential people that are flying out there and seeing what we're doing in these rural areas. And it's a formula to help them help themselves, to lift them out of extreme poverty through adopting these villages.
Yeah, it's exciting. Will you dive into to the fat cow method?
Yeah, so there's three primary things that we're doing in this formula. Number one is in the health category. And I'll give you a caveat here. The first two categories, they're money suckers, right? And that's something I don't like about charities, but it's the reality of many charities. And these first two categories, they don't produce any revenue. They just suck revenue, right? And so we realize that, but we're solving that on step three. But the first one is health. And I don't know if you've ever felt super sick, but I have in my life. And when you don't have your health, you're willing to give all the money in your bank account, right? You don't really care about savings and all these other things that help in prosperity. You just want to feel good, right? So we're leaning into health. We're adopting villages, and centric to those villages are the primary schools, or what we'd call elementary schools in America. And so we go in and we help them with dental work. I mean, they have never even seen a dentist before Become More got there. We are changing their mindset, and we're having them brush their teeth at school, not at home, because their parents don't brush their teeth. They don't do that. But we also had to bring in clean water and washing stations and clean bathrooms, because they don't have clean water either, right? And so feminine hygiene and some other things, vitamins, some other things that are critical for basic health. So we bring that in for the whole village, focusing primarily on the primary children. So that's step one. Step two is education. And there's two ways about going about this, but we realize that the numbers are clear, that the best way for the Cambodian people to increase their income is by speaking English. That's just it. You know, it's somewhat convenient that it's the language that we speak, but it's the global business language. And if they have a high school diploma and can speak English, their income potential is above someone that has a college PhD and speaks just Khmer. And so the income potential is massive, and they can leave the rural area, or they can choose to stay. They can go into hospitality, a lot of really cool things. But the reality is the adults aren't going to learn English, but the kids are. So we've partnered with the chief commune and the village communes, and they've allowed us to use the schools from noon to five to be able to teach English. So we've hired a bunch of English teachers, and first we get them to school, to public school. And sometimes that requires a little bit of a tuition to cover like the utilities. Sometimes that requires, you know, a uniform or a bicycle so that they can actually get there. And then one of my favorite programs is what we call the attendance rice. It's when the child and the parents want to go to school, but the parents need the child's labor because they need to eat that week, right? And so what we do is we say, hey, parents, we get it. You need to eat. We will pay your child in rice on a monthly basis if they have 85 or greater percent attendance. So now the parents say, child, I need you to go to school because we need that rice. They're bringing home the bacon for the family, so to speak. And it allows them to be able to go and participate and learn at school. So that's step one, get them to public school. And then step two is from noon to five, we teach them English. And that's the cutest thing ever. They're wearing Become More shirts. They're speaking English. They're learning. They're singing. It's a really fun program. And then all that to get to what makes all this sustainable. And that is what we call the Fat Cow Program. And the Fat Cow Program is, putting it in simple words that businessmen in America would understand, is we take their ineffective small business called the skinny cow, and we teach them how to five times their ROI. Now, in their language, we are going to help them take their skinny cow, and we're going to help them make it a fat cow. And the cool part is, not only are fat cows about double as valuable, but they can produce offspring about double as fast. And that sounds crazy, but that's the crazy part about it. These cows are adapted to these rough climates and high humidity and high temperatures. And if they get pregnant and their nutrition is low, the baby just grows slower. And the calf, it takes just shy of 2 years for the calf to pop out. It's crazy. It's not how humans work, but it's how these cows in these rural areas work. So what we've done is we go in and we set up, instead of them having one of their sons or daughters take their cow around by a rope to eat random things and find water for 8 to 12 hours a day, which eats up a lot of human capital in addition to an ineffective way of getting the cow nutrition and burning off a lot of their of their energy by walking around all day. We build a pen, we drill for water, we put up the fence, we put up the roof, we bring in the hay, we bring in the protein, we do the vaccinations, and then we also do the in vitro and or have them mate with our bull. And all this allows them to have calves twice as frequent on average, and calves that are fat calves instead of skinny calves, which are worth about twice the value. So we're adopting, when we stand up and adopt a village, it's not only the health initiative and the English initiative, but we're also doing the fat cow program, which starts with 50 fat cow family farms. And then when, I missed a crucial step. First, their skinny cow that we're paying to feed, and we're giving them the stable and all, and the water and all that kind of stuff. When the first calf pops out, that's called a karma calf. And that family, let's say husband, wife, and kids, they meet with the commune chief and the village chief, and they collectively decide who else in their village would benefit from having a fat cow family farm. And then this calf is donated to that family so that we can increase and multiply the number of fat cow family farms in that village. Now, every calf that pops out from their cow from that point forward, it's theirs, right? So they do a little bit of a give, a couple month give up front, even though we're paying for the feed. And after that, they're getting that 4 to 5 times ROI from that point forward. Not to mention the decreased likelihood of death due to us properly vaccinating their cow. Second, we are also parking a Become More cow in the pen that they take care of all year with their own cow. And every single calf that pops out of the Become More cow, the girls will be used to help create additional Become More fat cow family farms. And the boys will be sold at market. And for the first 3 years, the cash will be used to build pens and buy hay and so on. But after the third year, that's when the magic happens. Because now when we have about 177 fat cow family farms, just liquidating the boy calves each year is enough money to continually fund the health initiative and the education initiative. So now this thing is self-sustaining from the three-year mark forward. We don't need to go get another blood transfusion. We don't need to go ask for another donation from some rich donor, right? It will live in perpetuity, and also giving the villagers that sense of self-respect that they're looking for. They want to work. They're hard workers. And frankly, they can outwork me in all kinds of ways. And to just give them the resources to start it and the education and knowledge of how to continually make it a perpetual benefit, this is something that the villagers are getting quite excited about.
That's so awesome. I mean, I've run our nonprofit Child Rescue for 14 years, and it's just such a broken model. Like, the ability to self-fund is the key to helping so many more humans on Earth. So what does it cost? Let's say somebody is listening today and they're like, man, our company should adopt a village with you guys. What does that cost to cover 3 years?
Yeah, so there's a couple ways to get involved with Become More, right? And so the biggest of those ways is to adopt a village. We got a couple pretty cool sponsors that are heavily considering this. To date, the only one that has sponsored a village is Loan Pro Founders and Loan Pro, right? And it's $1 million. And what that $1 million covers is 3 years of the health initiative for the whole village, 3 years of the education initiative for the whole village, which is relatively expensive, and 50 fat cow family farms. All that adds up to $1 million. Or you can fund components of it. Someone could say, hey, I want to, you know, pay X amount for 3 years to cover the full health initiative for the whole village, or do the same thing for the education. Or you can sponsor one fat cow family farm for $10,000.
It's so great.
So
when you think about lessons from building Loan Pro into the unicorn status, what are some of those lessons that you guys are bringing to Become More?
A lot of it has been for the two sides of the coin. First, on the fulfillment side, resources sure don't create fulfillment, but they increase the opportunity where you can become fulfilled. And I hope that makes sense. It's, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, but a boat makes me happy, and money buys boats, right? So we're trying to use our own resources and invite others to use their resources to be able to make a mark in the world. And in that same line of thought, if we're actively engaged in a good cause, then our whole perspective changes, right? It adjusts for us. So it sounds like we're doing something really nice for the Cambodian people in the rural areas, and we are, but they're doing something really nice for us too, right? We are a country that is, our thesis is that Americans are rich in resource and poor in fulfillment in general. And yet Cambodians are poor in resource, but rich in fulfillment in general. And so what if we can combine those two and leverage our resources and leverage their fulfillment and have us benefit and become more fulfilled and have them have more opportunity because of our resource? So that's really what we're attempting to do here is use business best practices and the process of iteration. Because we've done a lot in Cambodia, right? We've tried things and they haven't worked. We spent a lot of time at the Phnom Penh dump where, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people live in extreme poverty. And we've done all kinds of things to try to help them and bring them out of the dump. We've built homes and donated them to people that can't walk and in extreme situations. And we found that a lot of those things didn't work. But when we go into the rural areas where this agrarian society is hungry, where you ask them, what is your favorite thing to do? And 8 out of 10 of them say, go to school to learn, right? They're so excited about this. They know that their only option of getting out of extreme poverty is education. And they're desperate for it. And they love it. And they want to be at school. I mean, I had an experience last month where we went to explore another village that we're considering adopting. And we rode in there with a dozen Lone Pro employees that we had taken to Cambodia and a dozen of their plus ones, siblings or children. This is kind of a parent-child type trip. And they had never seen white people before. The whole village. Isn't that insane? Kind of blows your mind, other than on TV, but in person. And it's like 6:30 at night and the whole community is there. The kids, the parents, the teachers, the staff, they're all there super excited waiting for us to come, for the hope that maybe we'll also adopt their village because they know that we've adopted a village nearby. So for us, it's about implementing business practices that will help this not be something that needs a constant blood transfusion. And then if a hiccup happens on our side, the whole house of cards falls down. But rather, how can we create something that is sustainable, which means the people need to be heavily involved. They need to feel an ownership of this. They need to feel like, we are teachers, but they're the doers, not that we're coming in for a photo shoot of helping the poor Cambodian people and then throw it on Facebook and bounce, but rather we're there to stay and we are partners in this endeavor. And frankly, they've taught us a ton. They've told us what they want. They've told us what is helpful. They've made commitments. They brought the village together and made the whole village make commitments, right? Including some very basic things like sanitation's quite low out there. They don't have a very good way of getting rid of garbage. And so the people in general, they'll eat, if they have a wrapper and they eat some good, they just throw the wrapper on the ground and there's just garbage literally everywhere. Well, the commune chief, which a commune chief is over about 7 village chiefs and the village chief is over the village. The commune chief pulled all the leaders together and the influential parents and had them make a commitment that if Become More is going to come and pay for English school, then what the people need to give is to clean up their community. And they caught the vision and they understood. So wait, we commit to clean and we get English school. So we double win. And the village chief said, yes. The commune chief said, yes, you double win. So they're invested in this and they want to be a part of it. They want to be part of the solution. They just need a little bit of help. We talk about it as, imagine a ladder, you're in a deep pit and you want to climb out of this pit. You can see the light up there, but you're just missing the first couple rungs on the ladder. And Become More's objective isn't to give them all of the steps and lift them all the way out of poverty. rather, to give them the first couple rungs of the ladder, and they need to choose if they're going to climb out or not. We realize that means some won't fully climb out. We understand that and we accept that, but we want to give the opportunity to as many people as we can to have those first couple rungs and then invite them to keep climbing.
Well, it's inspirational. You know, I think about spending, you know, not quite a decade and a half leading a nonprofit myself. And just hearing this has made me think differently. Like, you know, I think at lunch I was telling you about that police training program we're working on, right? And
yeah,
and like just you saying this makes me think, yeah, you know what we should be doing is we shouldn't be so worried about funding a class. We should be worried about building a for-profit training company, because law enforcement pay for training. We should build a for-profit training company, except put 100% of the profits back into helping more cops learn these lessons on how to rescue kids from pedophiles and people hurting them. I guess I'd love to hear, when you think about another decision tree or process for nonprofits, foundations, groups trying to do good like this, who are trying to become sustainable, what's a tip that you would give them? Because you tried a bunch of things that didn't work. And there's many others that would like to get into a self-sustaining model. What's a mental tool that they should use? What's a question they should ask themselves?
Yeah, so self-sustaining model to me is the key to any long-term charity, right? Because if they're so, charities are like businesses, but the clients are donors instead of the actual recipients. So it's a little bit turned on its head. And we wanted to do a charity that we were in control if it won or not. And that meant that we have to self-fund it. But now that we've done that, and now that the model is either been proved or in the middle of being proved, then we now are excited to invite others to come get involved. And just this last, you know, so far this month, I've had four associates that have accepted the invitation to adopt a fat cow family farm for 10 grand, right? And some of these people, I mean, these aren't multimillionaires. These are people that maybe it's even a little bit of a stretch for them, but it resonated with them because of the sustainability component. So I would think about it from any charity's perspective on how can we look at this as how can we at least carve out an element of this charity that will allow it to produce revenue sustainably, right? And cows are interesting because they're created seemingly from nothing. So you have a mama cow, have some vaccination and vitro and protein, wait some time, and boom, it pops out an asset. And that's really interesting, especially when that asset can pop out a dozen more assets over the next 15 years and so on. And it really becomes something that's really quite perpetual if done right, right? So we've even stood up a Become More Farm in Cambodia, and we have a full-time employee there where they can bring their cow and they can have it mate with our bull. They can see all the equipment and learn how to use it. They can even go and grind their feed right there on site. They can get educated and have our rancher go to their farm, which he does frequently, to check up, make sure that they're doing things right, seeing what their process is, making sure they're following the Become More way so that they'll get the results that we're looking for, right? Because this is breaking their old model. They know how to get their one multiple that they've been getting for decades, but they don't know how to five times that. If we can come into their world and help them do what they're already doing, we're not saying, hey, stop farming and do something else, or, you know, completely jump into a different field. We're teaching them how to do what they're already doing better. We're inviting them to contribute through the Karma Calf model. We're inviting them to contribute by taking care of the Become More cow, and they are becoming the saviors of their own community. It's not the Americans that are coming and saving their community. They're saving their community. We're just giving them the education and the cash flow to be able to do it.
Well, like I said, I think it's awesome. But I think this, like, embracing social entrepreneurship is such a great global phenomenon. And I love I love that you guys are, it's not just a theory, that you're doing it, that you're proving it's possible. It makes it inspirational for the rest of us.
Oh, thank you. It definitely takes a village on this side as well, right? We've sent hundreds of Americans and in this last year to Cambodia. We got a fulfillment trip that's out there right now. We have another group that is leaving this tomorrow. My brother Ben is taking another group of Loan Pro employees and their plus ones to Cambodia. That's the VIP trip this Friday they're departing. And then the week after that, we're having a Loan Pro trip heading out there. So that's another way to get involved. You know, we've had people that they've had children that are struggling in one way or another, and they're in essence finding it difficult to know what their purpose is in this life. And then to go and see that these kids and adults in such humbling circumstances are giggling and laughing and smiling with more than their mouth, they're smiling with their eyes, and they have close to nothing from our perspective, and yet they're fulfilled. And that's just such a paradigm shift. It's such a transformation that we've seen happen to dozens of people taking them on these fulfillment trips. So that's also another way that we're helping Americans become more fulfilled. And we're inviting people to put a group together and get on the calendar, and we will take you on one of these guided service trips through Cambodia. We call them fulfillment trips. All you need to do is show up, and we have agents that will help you book the airfare. You'll show up, and they'll take care of everything from there. They'll take you to see Cambodia. They'll take you to see the people and the dump and our villages and the kids in our village, and you'll stay at the homestead, and you'll get a full hands-on experience. I'll warn you, it's hot and it's sweaty, but it's definitely something that you won't soon forget.
You know, we just had a board meeting for Utah State University for the Entrepreneurship Center, and Mike Glauser, who's been on this show, he had gone with you guys and told me it was just great.
Yeah, he's a great man. He's doing some great things all over the place, including in Cambodia. So he's been a mentor for me since I was 19 years old. I really look up to him.
I didn't know you guys had known each other that far back.
Yeah, I met him when I was 19. I went out to Atlanta, Georgia on an LDS mission, and he was my mission president.
What? I had no idea. That's hilarious. Yes. That's so great.
Yeah, that's how
I'm such a fan. I'm a big Mike Glauser fan. Glauser. So let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about what life is like for you, because you think about founders and entrepreneurs, this idea of getting a company over a billion is such a big benchmark. You talked about, you know, you and your brothers taking $100 million off the table, and you get to do fulfilling stuff like this, like Become More. I know you've got a lifelong love of Hawaii, and you guys get to go spend time there. You're doing some real estate. We've been able to talk about it at our lunches and stuff. I'm interested, as you think about this next chapter of your life, what are some of the thoughts you think about?
Yeah, so it's been a really fun transition the last year. It really has. From running the revenue department at Loan Pro to not running the revenue department has been a real adjustment, right? But the truth is, Loan Pro needs somebody that can put in 60 to 100 hours a week, that is fully in the weeds and running the team. And I didn't have my heart in it enough to make that commitment. My family's getting to an age where it didn't really make sense, and it didn't move the needle for me financially enough. It just didn't really matter. I don't spend big bucks, and we are okay financially regardless if I did that or not. So that transition's been magic. I've really enjoyed it. I love Loan Pro. It's such a great company, and the people are so great. Some of my best friends work at Loan Pro. So I'm honored to still be an advisor, and I'm honored to still be on the board. Just had a board meeting last week, a week ago today. So those things are still really fun. So I spend probably about 10% of my time doing Loan Pro related activities. I'm here at my office at Loan Pro, so I still come here quite frequently. And then other than that, my other working time is split about, you know, 10% Loan Pro, 45% Become More, and 45% Family Office. So Become More, we talked a lot about that so far. We're doing a gala on December 7th. We're inviting a lot of people. We're trying to get a total of 50 Fat Cow Family Farms sponsored. We need, at this point, 21 more sponsored. So they're rolling in 10 grand at a time. We're doing a gala. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the website for that, if people want to check that out?
Yeah, it's just becomemorecharity.org. So you can learn all about it. We'd love to get anyone involved. We don't want this to be an our thing, right? Like me and the founders thing. We want this to be the people's thing. It's a public charity. We want to be something that if people want to get involved, there's multiple ways they can get involved, right? And so I'd love to go through those before this is over as well. But yeah, so I've spent about 45% of my time on Become More and 45% of time on Family Office and managing. I manage Rhett's, Ben's, and my capital that we took off the table in other types of investment, everything from real estate to hard money to different types of investments that are more on the secure side, but also provide some good potential upside.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. When you think about this idea of how the mindset changes of being an entrepreneur where you're trying to get to a level and then becoming an investor where wealth preservation becomes a higher priority than wealth creation. You know, we had Michael Sonnenfeld on here who runs Tiger 21. I think they've got I can't remember how many members now, but it's like $140 billion worth of individuals who are worth 10 million or more. They get together in these groups of 12 and talk about how to not lose all the money you made from running your entrepreneur business. And you talked about this, like how often like the skill set of being aggressive, being hyper-focused are so great for wealth creation, but can be counterproductive in wealth preservation. And yeah. I don't know if you've experienced that at all or if you have any thoughts or advice for others.
Yeah, 45% of my time is focused on wealth preservation, right? Because imagine that we have an investment opportunity, say for $10 million, and if it goes well, it's going to turn into $100 million. Well, that's super exciting. It's a great return, right? But if I lose that money, then is it enough that can change and put at risk what I value so much of my freedom, right? And so a lot of it isn't about how do I hit the biggest home run. It's about doing investments that are secure, safe is relative, but secure. And that if the market turns down, then it's not necessarily a bad thing. It actually could be a good thing, right? Because nobody knows what's really going to happen in the market. You'll get pundits that will say yay, yay, and nay, nay all the time, but they don't know. They're making their educated guesses. So in investing in wealth preservation, it's about limiting the downside and then taking advantage of what markup is available on the upside. So we do that very heavily. For example, let's say you want to do somebody needs a $10 million loan and they have a $20 million boutique hotel. Great. We'd give them a first position loan. And, if the market turns or they're not able to pay, great. We picked up a hotel, right? If they do, then great. We make low double digit returns, something like 1% a month, 12%, 18%, somewhere in that general window. You'd be surprised. Deals like that are everywhere. They're just literally everywhere. 50% loan to value, hard assets, anything from raw land to hotels to, office complex. We never do more than 50% loan to value. And usually you're about 1% a month with maybe three origination points. And so you're not going to hit a grand slam on a deal like that, but you're going to make a solid 15% a year on your money in a good market. And in the bad market, that asset might be cut in half, but you're going to get an asset that was worth 20, now it's worth 10. You didn't lose any money, and you can now choose if you want to flip it and get all your money back, or if you're going to ride the market back up the next few years until it becomes worth 20 again, and now you doubled your money.
Interesting. When you think about the mind shift there, do you have any advice for other founders who might be getting ready to sell?
Well, it is a different mindset. I think you just need to put it in mentally into two different buckets, right? A loan pro for us is the high risk, high reward bucket. It's going very well. I presume it's going to keep going very well. But a completely independent bucket is the capital that we've taken off the table. It has a different purpose. So we shouldn't treat it the same, right? We shouldn't be day trading with it. We shouldn't be trying to turn it into $1 billion in a year. It's just that would be too risky. And it would defeat the purpose of ever taking capital off the table as well. So my counsel would be understand the purpose of the capital. And every dollar has put a name to the dollar. What is the purpose of that dollar? Is it preservation? Is it growth? Is it legacy? There's a lot of names that you could tie to a dollar, but once you tie that name to it, stick in that lane with that dollar.
There are so many stories of folks who they work for years or decades to achieve a big number with the business. They sell, they go public, something like this. And all of a sudden, they can feel like they're a little bit adrift. And there's talk about people like kind of getting depressive. Like they can only golf so many days before they realize like golf isn't that fulfilling like what I used to do or things like this. So for people who maybe aren't quite ready to, you know, shell out $1 million and adopt their own village, can we talk about some of the other ways if they wanted to have some more fulfillment with Become More?
Yeah, so happy to explore that specifically with Become More. But in general, the Become More thesis or the book G-Cube, it's right here. We'd love for anyone to read it. If you don't have a spare couple bucks in your pocket, just let me know. I'll send you a free copy. If we just want to get the message out there. And it's how to become fulfilled in this life. And it's completely independent of if you do or if you don't have access to capital. And it's these three things. One, your level of overall gratitude. How grateful of a person are you? And two, are you progressing and are you growing? Growth is a necessary step. That's what, Jesse, talk about it. You only can play so much golf and then you're just like, I don't really feel like I'm progressing. I don't feel like I'm building. I don't feel like I'm growing. I feel like something's missing. I miss the chase. I miss the hunt, and that's because it's the growth element. We all need it. You either grow or you die. It's inevitable. You can't just hang out on a beach sucking down virgin pina coladas all day and feel fulfilled. Sure, it's a great vacation, but it's not a great lifestyle. And then the last one is giving, right? We've all heard the secret to living is giving. And that's the way I like to say is allowing light to flow through you. Realizing that you are not the source of light, but you can become a conduit for light. And you can be an imperfect conduit. You don't need to reach a certain level of perfection to invite light to flow through you. In your current state, you can simply just ask, look, listen, and be willing to take action to allow light to flow through you. And my strong belief is if you have those three things, if you are a grateful person and you're working to increase your levels of gratitude, look, what's wrong is always available, but so is what's right. So if you're focusing on those things that are right and the lessons you can learn from even the difficult scenarios, and you're progressing and growing and you're inviting light to flow through you, you're giving. I don't know anybody that has high levels of gratitude, growth, and giving that is miserable. They might have difficult life circumstances. They might be dying. They might have cancer. They might have had a loved one recently die. They might have just filed bankruptcy. They might have had all these circumstances that we would say are hard and we wouldn't wish upon ourselves or those we love. But if they're full of gratitude and they're growing and they're giving, I can promise you that's a fulfilled person.
Wow. I think that's pretty powerful. And obviously, the book has been resonating with people when it's been selling so much and people have been raving about it. We have some friends in common like Lindsay Hadley that have been telling everybody they need their own coffee. And it's obviously a message that's being helpful to people. But thinking about other opportunities specifically at Become More, like you said, they can adopt they can adopt one cow, or I don't know how it works. Tell me what the options are.
Yeah. So a couple options. Number one is you can make the Become More pledge. And we'll have this up on the website pretty soon. And this is where you can effectively make it a personal commitment to increase your own level of gratitude, growth, and giving. And by doing so, making the pledge, you become part of the Become More family. So it's free. It's, we have some cool things that come with that. And we'd love to invite anybody to make the pledge. Second is you can become more volunteer, right? We do things like galas. We do things like different events. We need some time and talent that doesn't require any treasure, but time and talent can be even more valuable than treasure. So we'd love to get you involved if you're willing to become a volunteer based on your skill set, right? We need some help with some online marketing, with some website design, with some different, putting together galas and different events. So we'd love for someone to become a Become More volunteer. And then third is go on a fulfillment trip, right? Put together a group. Schedule it a year out. We don't care. Let's get you out to Cambodia. Come on one of these guided fulfillment trips and have that change that people wish that they could buy on their love on their deathbed for those they love most, right? Nobody wants to be on their deathbed, have a stack of 7, 8, 9 digits of capital, look at their posterity and go, yikes, what did I do? I didn't teach them the things that really mattered in this life. Now they're going to be fighting over my resource after I'm gone. Give yourself and those you love most a reason to have a perspective adjustment. Sometimes that requires you to get out of the element, to go on the other side of the world, do something extreme, go see how other humans actually live and have some changes in your state and in theirs. So that's the third way to get involved. Fourth one is to adopt a Fat Cow family farm. We talked about that. It's $10,000. It's not just adopting a farm. It's adopting the family that will be utilizing and benefiting from that farm. So you'll get to know the family over the years. You'll know when they have a calf that's delivered, some of their big events, some of your big events. We want this to be really an adoption of a family as much as it is adopting a Fat Cow family farm. And then next, you can do an endowment for either 3 years of the education or 3 years of the health initiative for a new village and adopting that village. Because remember, we just need 3 years of an endowment for the education and the health initiative. And at that point, the Fat Cow family farms will have grown from 50 to about 177 Fat Cow family farms. And now the revenue off selling the male calves is enough to keep the education and the health initiative rolling forward indefinitely. And then the last is adopt a full village, right? Probably something that makes more sense for a corporation or somebody that's looking at making massive impact that has a spare $1 million sitting around that really won't change their life a bunch. But we want to get people involved and get them over there and get them experiencing a transformation in their own mind as much as it is helping the people of Cambodia.
I love it. Well, I want to talk about both how you get the word out about Become More and just advice for other people trying to make an impact in the world. You know, we talked about it a bit on and off just at our lunches or things like this. But then when I saw on LinkedIn the video you guys had made and you were talking about it, you're so enthusiastic. That's when I reached out and said, like, hey, why don't you come back on the podcast? Let's talk about this. Like, this is actually really cool. I think people would be interested in it. But other than doing podcasts, making the odd YouTube video, how do you think about really getting the word out and the messaging and getting people to find out about it in the first place?
Yeah, well, I can't say that we've been terrific at that. In some ways, we've had our head down and really been working on the modeling. You know, we're using our own capital. We're putting our money where our mouth is to make sure that we get the formula right. And now we feel like we finally got it right. To this point, it's been a lot of grassroots efforts. It's been, you know, the hundreds of people that we've taken to Cambodia have really become kind of spokespeople for Become More. And because it was meaningful in their own life. And so they talk to their in-laws, they talk to their, you know, people at their church of choice. They've been spreading the word that way. And then we've been on social media some, and that video you mentioned, you know, and now has thousands of views, and that's been kind of fun. But that's a category that we need to do a little bit more in than we historically have.
Yeah. When you think about planning, because there's 1,000 ways to spend your money getting the word out. When you think about your weapons of choice, or you think about what's interesting to you, what makes the short list? Probably, is it?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Full page ads in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very complicated with charities, right? Lindsay just, co-developed a documentary about the double standard put on charities, right? Every investor or every donor wants to see that the bulk of their money that they're donating is going to direct impact. They don't want to see that it's being spent to let other people know about the charity. And if that number gets out of whack in their mind, then you now are a bad charity. So it's a little bit of a chicken and an egg of how are you supposed to let people know if it's inappropriate to spend any money on letting people know, right?
P.S.
So that's...
Isn't that such a great documentary? Lindsay, executive producer with Jake Gyllenhaal's dad. It's called Uncharitable. It's based on the highest view count TED Talk of all time by Dan Pilotta. Everybody should get a hold of that. You got to find your way. I believed in that message before I saw it. But I was somewhat skeptical of, can you get people who haven't run nonprofits to realize how backwards this is? Like, how much can one documentary do? By the end of watching it the first time, I was like, holy cow, this could actually change people's minds.
Yes. Yeah, it really, nonprofits are put in an unfair conundrum. If they spend money on staff or marketing, they are now naughty. But if they don't, then they can't acquire talent unless they don't require a salary, or they can't spend on marketing to get the message out there. And so you're a good charity that spends money properly, but nobody knows about you, or you're a naughty charity because you use dollars for overhead type expenses. So it is a little bit of a conundrum. And I can't say that we've been part of the solution yet in that front, because our solution has been, great, we'll self-fund. We'll pay for all this until we get the model right. Now that we're happy with the model on both the fulfillment side and on the prosperity side, now we're ready to turn it on and really grow this. But our perspective to date has been, okay, great. We only have one person on payroll and everybody else is a volunteer at Become More, including myself. I'm a volunteer. Not only do I not make money from Become More, I spend, it's definitely something that takes money out of the bank account, and I'm okay with that. But all dollars that anybody else donates goes specifically for the cause, right? $10,000 for a Fat Cow Family Farm. We break it down exactly how much is going to lumber, how much do we drill, how much is going to feed local Cambodian staff, and everything. It doesn't pay for any white people, any Americans, right? It's only paying for the initiative in Cambodia. And albeit that's good, that it does leave something wanting on how do you properly get the message out there.
Well, and this is why I love Uncharitable so much, is it's so articulately explains that we are measuring the wrong thing. Nobody wants corruption. Nobody wants people taking charity money and buying Ferraris. Give me a break. We all that's covered, right? But the concept that a charity is a success or not based on low overhead or not, it is just like, can you imagine a business? It was like, hey, listen, we had a huge ROI. We had 170% ROI for our investors. Oh, really? How much money did you make? $100. Who cares? Versus the other guy's like, hey, we're running on 4% margins. Oh, really? How much money did you make? $40 billion. We're a Fortune 500 company. Like the idea that we would rather own the company that makes $100 because of the margin instead of the total good done, it is just absurd, right? It's like, hey, we were only able to help one veteran, but man, we made sure that nobody got paid to help him. Versus, we paid people what the rest of the for-profit jobs would have paid, and we helped 170,000 veterans. Give me a break.
Exactly. You're right. It's all turned on its head. And a lot of the money that flows to charities doesn't go directly from the donor to the charity, right? You look at the numbers, a lot of these are coming from donor advised funds, from numcruts, all different types of charitable remainder type trusts that have been doing whatever they're doing. They invested in the market and then somebody dies or they got to donate 5% a year. There's dozens of these donor advised type funds that need to have the funds eventually flow to a 501c3. But the donor advised fund facilitator puts a mark on how good the charity is or how bad the charity is based off of their spend percentages. And they want it to look like a cigarette butt, right? They want it to look like, 70% going to charity, 10% for marketing, 20% for operations. And if it doesn't have that look, then they anywhere from give it a side head look of, I don't think I would do that. This charity doesn't have the right percentages, to an all out no, this is not one of the charities that we recommend. And so that's where the fun. So you have to follow the money, right? And until they change that on where the funds are flowing from and who gets the endorsement and who doesn't, popular opinion on, it should be appropriate, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like you. We haven't figured it out. Like, what we do at Child Rescue is my for-profit company, Greystoke, just covers all the overhead. Like, that's, we have no employees at this point, and I don't know what to do about the criticism, so I haven't figured it out. Like, I think we're more likely to become like a charity water as an in-between, where you like, you set up one organization for sophisticated donors to understand if you pay people what they're worth, your organization can help more folks. Like, literally run two organizations, one for the general public who
operation,
you know, where all the money goes straight to the cause, and just literally run a separate organization to cover overhead, which in the meantime, we're just covering. But anyways.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the quick way to market, so to speak, right? Is, all right, there's a lot of, you know, murky waters when it comes to overhead. First, keep, you know, we only have one person on payroll, but any type of marketing expenses or, you know, paper materials or making a video, all that kind of stuff, we're just donating the money to cover all that, so that when somebody that is interested in potentially donating, when if they have questions, it's squeaky clean on the current measuring rod of, yep, every dollar goes to Cambodia, let's show you exactly how this is happening. But to make that happen, we just have to flip the bill on all the operation and overhead expenses.
Well, thank you for doing that. You're helping our world and inspiring a bunch of people, so I'm glad you are. Listen, as we wind down, what do you want to leave people with?
You know, that's a great question. I would say that, you know, if you want to become part of the Become More family, we welcome you with open arms. But there's lots of different ways to be fulfilled in this life. And so I'd really encourage you to do your own self-analysis on what your own levels of gratitude are. And you can go to gcubeformula.com, and you can download some worksheets that will help you walk through this process. You can get the book on Amazon or Audible, or Jesse, you prefer Audible over physical books?
Yeah, I read less than a book a year, but I listen to 2 to 4 books a week.
Oh my goodness. Well, good for you, man. That's a lot of data to take in. And thank you for listening to Become More to G Cubed. I definitely appreciate that.
I'm just going to put another plug in for it. There's this awesome twist in the book, people, where you're like, you're hearing this like crazy story about this guy with these wild health problems and this millionaire guy who life is going great for, and there's like this big twist you're not going to expect, and it's awesome. So get your copy of the book.
Well, thank you, Jess. But it's really a matter of if you feel like you could be more fulfilled in your life, you often think that it's because your circumstances need to improve, right? You need to have more money. You weren't able to have children, or you did have children, and they're making all kinds of choices that aren't in line with your standards on how you believe things should be, right? And there's this whole process that the book G Cube can take you through. I'd invite you to do some self-reflecting of your own, and the book should help you walk through that process of reflecting on your level of gratitude, and to not that you don't have the right to be entitled, but how is being entitled serving you at all? And what if you rooted out that entitlement and just replaced it with gratitude? What would that look like, right? So my call to you would be to reflect on your level of gratitude, reflect on your level of growth, and reflect on how often and in what ways you're inviting light to flow through you to bless the lives of others. Because in those three things, I find true fulfillment, and realizing that it's not the summation of this, of these three things. It's really the multiplication. It's the whole G cubed formula. It's not G plus G plus G. It's G times G times G. And to recognize and reflect on the fact that there is some invisible multiplier that you can't actually tangibly see, but you can see the results of, that wants you to become more in this life and wants you to become fulfilled. And so that magnifying, that multiplying effect, it really is a game changer when you're reflecting on your levels of gratitude, growth, and giving. So if you want to become a part of the Become More family, make the Become More pledge, we'd invite you to do so. But in addition, you know, if you want to go to Become More or adopt a village or adopt a Fat Cow Family Farm or whatever, we invite you to get involved and learn more about that. But, you know, don't start with that. Start with evaluating your own levels of gratitude, your own levels of giving, and your own levels of growth, and then go from there and find the way that is natural for you to be able to bless the lives that are those that are close to you, and effectively elevate your own level of fulfillment.
I love it. Well, I mean, I've said it already on this episode a bunch of times, but I'm just glad that you guys are setting the example of don't take the status quo, people. Spend the time to design and iterate something that is sustainable that can help others for the long term without constantly needing more donors. I think it's a great thing. You've shown us how to do it, and hopefully the rest of us can copy it in our own ways.
Well, Jess, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Let's go grab lunch sometime. It's always great seeing you in person as well.
You bet. Bye, everyone.